Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
From the WEEI studios, 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston, and Odyssey Sports Station.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad he's frustrated me. I mean, you know what I mean? That if he wasn't, that would be, it would be more alarming than him not getting the ball, to be honest with you. But no, you just explain it to him, man. It's you're going to have those games where it happens like that. But, you know, like I said, it's the second game of the year. You know, we're still trying to figure out our identity and, you know, how this thing's going to play out as far as the offense. So, you know, it's a long season ahead. I told him, man, it's 15 games left, you know, right? I think we play 17 games now. So 15 games left, man. It's a lot of football left ahead of us. You know, obviously, you know, we're still getting better, you know, as a whole, individually, as an offense, you know. So, no, I'm glad that he's frustrated, but you know, obviously, you got to use the frustration towards the right way.
The afternoon show with Christian Arcan and Andy Hart starts now on WEEI.
Kobe Brissett, very diplomatic answer to us yesterday as we, it was mostly Andy grilling him there about the Pop Douglas situation. Pop Douglas not talking to the media. Then when he finally did talk to the media, it was very short, you know, very kind of
last year. And it was shortened by PR.
That too.
We got meetings. Short week, got to get going.
There's a lot of different ways.
Then come to find out they didn't get to the stadium till like 2 today.
Oh, yeah, right. There was that too. But yeah, there was also, I mean, there was a lot of ways that Brissett could have taken that. Being the veteran leader on this team that he is, he was very diplomatic about it, said that he was glad to see that Douglas cares. And, I mean, that's sort of my initial thought was that, too. But then that sort of gets overtaken by the idea of, okay, man, like, how much did you expect to really get the ball anyway through the first 2 weeks? Like, yeah, obviously no one's going to be happy right now. That game yesterday was ridiculous. 2 days ago was ridiculous with only three wide receiver receptions. But, like, What did you think this season was going to be? Like, did you think you were going to get, this is going to be like a 1,000-yard season for you? Did you think you were going to get a ton of looks? Did you think this was going to be a high-powered passing offense with you in the middle of it? Because it seems like that's what he was expecting. And it's like, otherwise, why would he be so butthurt about it? Like, that's the thing that I'm sort of wondering is, like, what did they talk about? He must have known Alex Van Pelt didn't have that in the cards.
He's like, wait, we're going to run the ball?
Yeah, like, oh, wow, well, we're running. That's weird. I mean, yeah,
no,
they didn't target him. I agree. But
he was at training camp just like I was, and he was the centerpiece of the passing attack. He and Hunter Henry were the most frequent recipients of Jacoby Brissett's passes. Mm-hmm. And when it was clicking, it was – because if you remember, one of my arguments was I wanted to see Drake May – on the field with DeMario Douglas, because right. I thought that would benefit him, because you were seeing some of those quick routes and the drags and different things that develop quickly for a team that doesn't have a good offensive line. So I think just the pure reps of the summer, he had a certain expectation that, oh, yeah, I'm going to get targeted. I'm a central piece of this offense. He knew they were going to run the ball, but they are throwing the ball. They're throwing the ball 24, 27 times over the two games.
To Hunter Henry.
Yeah, right. And he's probably like, WTF. And I want him to be upset. I agree with Jacoby saying that. He should be. Does he need to express it publicly? Does he need to make a show of it as he did post-game? And then the next day, speaking with the media. And I would even give him the pass and the mulligan on postgame. Mm-hmm. Emotional, you're pissed right. off, it just happened, you didn't get the ball.
Carried that overnight. Yeah.
24 hours later, yeah. after you slept on it, maybe you talked to your dad, your advisor, your agent, somebody who might say, yeah, no, you should be frustrated, but you should also keep it in-house. And that's the part that bothered me, is that this is like Davante Adams. You know, if Pop Douglas was mic'd up, this would be like Davante Adams when he was expressing how pissed off he was in Vegas. But right. at least we didn't really see that till later when the documentary came out, right? Yeah. So
that's true.
And that's Davante Adams.
Saying, like, Arky, what, you don't want your young receivers to be confident? No, it's fine to be confident. It's totally fine to be confident. I'm just wondering if there's maybe a little bit of entitlement going on here, or maybe some sort of, you know, promise that was made or something going on behind the scene. That's the question. Like, is there a problem in the locker room right now? Because I think that there could be one brewing a little bit. I don't think that Pop Douglas is the only one here who's thinking, hey, what the bleep? Like, how come we're not getting the ball? How come this offense isn't moving along? And I'll even go back a couple of years here when if Belichick was here, you'd never see this. You saw this when Belichick was here. You saw Mac Jones bitching about the offense. You heard Kendrick Bourne bitching about the offense. Jacoby Myers would go on the record in scrums after the game. It's not like they were sniping on Twitter or anything. They would stand up in front of the media and openly complain about the offense. So that's not something that's new to this year or new to Gerard Mayo or this new regime or anything else. But that's definitely what's starting to happen here. I mean, I think we can all see the makings of it, and Douglas has already sounded off about it.
And, you know, three targets in two games, 1.5 targets per game he's averaging, and none in this game. I can understand the frustration,
mm-hmm.
but there's a better way. And I'm guessing he's had this conversation by now with somebody, whether that's Gerard Mayo himself, whether that's Matthew Slater in his role as sort of a intermediary between yeah. the staff and players and development. Because the emotion is understandable. The emotion may even be desired. The expression of that emotion publicly to the media, that is not desired, I don't think. Although I do. I listened to Curran with Jones and Keefe coming in. There is a weird environment where this is, oh, yeah, it's laissez-faire. Like, this is the year where you express yourself.
Right.
Gerard said he wants us to have opinions and express ourselves and take them public if we want and share everything. And
but
talk.
Those opinions then end up being shots at your teammates or shots at your coaches or shots at whoever. And I mean, is that what he wants? That
and
shots going to your quarterback? Like, I don't think that's what they're looking for.
Well, and that's the other thing that's starting to piss me off is these guys thinking they're open. This is the classic wide receiver quarterback game. I've also decided this is a big picture Andy thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like receivers. I think most of them are dinks.
Okay.
I think it comes with the position. They're self-centered dinks who don't understand that it's a really hard job for the guy trying to get them the ball.
Sure.
And I know they're reliant upon that guy to get them the ball, but and even like Davante Adams.
How often they get the ball and how many yards they get is dependent on how much money they make. I mean, it's, you know, it's a
right.
whole thing. I get that.
I think receivers, because of, I guess, the nature of the position and probably the coaching and their lifestyle and everything, I don't really like them because I don't like receivers. I don't because I think, is Jacoby Brissett working his ass off?
Yes. I'd
is
say
he getting
is.
The crap kicked out of him?
Absolutely.
Is he trying his best?
I would say yes.
Okay. So you're kind of being an a-hole if you're asking for the ball more and not, and like, I was open over here. The guy's been under duress 48% of the time through 2 weeks. So one out of every two times
more
he drops
than
back.
More than that in the second week. I
right.
know that. It was like more than 50%.
But it's basically at 50% for a totality of 50 whatever passes he's thrown. And you're bitching about getting the ball? He's a guy that we both thought he might have had a broken leg. Mm-hmm. We both thought he might have had a Bruins-like upper body injury that would right. knock him out of the game.
Like his liver got right? sealed, like, what's his name, Andrew Luck?
Yeah.
When his kidney got cut by his rib or whatever, yeah.
And you're bitching about targets, or I was open, or he didn't see me, or...
Well, in
I think
fairness,
most of them are dinks.
In fairness, Brissett hasn't missed any time, and he's not on the injury report, and he's going out there and soldiering forward. So, yeah, he's taking hits, but, you know, quarterbacks take hits in the NFL. That's part of the game.
Yeah, it is, but you should appreciate it. Mm-hmm. You should respect it as a teammate and not be whining about not getting the football. Also, he gets, I guess, a little bit of a break here because they lost. This would be even worse if they had won. If they had done
if
what
they had
I thought
won,
they should
have. I don't think he would have said that.
Oh, I think he would.
If they had
won. Because he's a receiver.
He wouldn't be
dinks.
Sitting there.
Listen?
They'd be celebrating the win. He wouldn't be sitting there, I think. You don't think so?
They're if they had won that game. Dinks. You can't spell either wide or receiver without the letter I.
Okay, well, you got me there.
Facts.
No, argument. Checkmate. Checkmate, Libs. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. When we come back, the New York Jets is the team the Patriots are playing on Thursday. They just had a close win over the Tennessee Titans. Not a good team. We'll talk about the Jets in that matchup, their defense being vulnerable, and can they stop the run without Juwan Bentley? That's all coming up right after Stiz tells you what's trending.
I don't like receivers.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, let's get you caught up on what's trending right now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Week 2 in the NFL wrapped up last night with the Falcons managing to get the win over the Eagles, beating them 22-21 in Philly. Kirk Cousins finished 20 of 29 for 241 yards and 2 touchdowns. Jalen Hurts went 23 for 30 for 183 yards with 1 touchdown and 1 interception. Both teams now stand at 1-1. The Patriots gearing up for their Week 3 game against Aaron Rodgers and the New York Jets on Thursday night. Kickoff from MetLife Stadium at 8:15. Patriots linebacker Juwan Bentley will miss the remainder of the regular season after suffering a torn pectoral muscle in Sunday's loss to the Seahawks. Some DMPs for the Patriots include David Andrews, Vidarian Lowe, and Sidy Soh. Jermaine Johnson did not participate for the Jets. And the Red Sox will begin a 3-game series against the Rays. First game goes down tonight. First pitch at 6:50 all across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Nick Pivetta expected to take the mound for your Boston Red Sox. He'll face off against Shane Bass for the Rays. Cooper Boardman, my guy, will get you ready starting at 5:50 with the MassMutual pregame show. Don't forget, you can catch both the pregame and the game right here on WEEI or download the Odyssey app and take us wherever you go. The Red Sox, 4 games behind in the final wild card spot with 12 games left to play. Again, trending brought to you by Time Out Market Boston. Experience the essence of Boston's culinary and cultural scene at Time Out Market Boston, nestled in the Fenway. From live music sessions to food and beverage tastings and everything in between, Time Out Market Boston showcases the best of the city under one roof. I'm Stiz. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoon show with Arcan and Hart.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Jets trying to hold on. Tennessee trying to rally. Levis, a dart. It's bobbled and dropped by Boyd.
Get into victory formation here. Rodgers takes a knee. The New York Jets get their first win of the season on the road in Nashville. 24-17. A fun one today in Music City.
Gangrene, the New York Jets getting their first win of the Aaron Rodgers era. Not an easy one. You just heard right there. I mean, the Titans marched down the field, could have tied the game up there, but Will Levis his way right out of that with a throw to Boyd that he should have had, by the way, but ended up dropping, and that was that. And the Jets go on to win their first game with Rodgers, their first game of the year. They're 1-1. Patriots are 1-1. Everybody's playing on a short week, and I think that this is the type of game that if the Patriots can go out and play the way they played week one defensively. And I say defensively because I don't think they can play that same kind of defense that they played week two, allowing two wide receivers to give you over 100 yards and 22 receptions combined. I know they shut them out, but well, not shut them out, but held them to three in the second half. That's great. But I heard Ty Law this morning. He was absolutely right. He's like, you can't give the secondary too much props for that game. It's nice to hold them to 3 points, but you cannot let those guys get into a groove like that. You can't let that quarterback carve you up like that. He had almost a perfect game. And if they let Aaron Rodgers do that and Garrett Wilson or whoever else, I mean, that's they're going to make mincemeat out of these Patriots, I think. There's no way they can keep up with that.
Yeah, Geno Smith has had a nice career. Aaron Rodgers is one of the best of all time, has seen everything. He's at that Brady point where I'm sure he feels like he has the answers to every test.
Right.
And Geno Smith seemed like he knew what was coming, right? The Seahawks, the offense, Geno Smith seemed like they knew when the blitzes were coming.
Mm-hmm.
They knew exactly where they wanted to go most of the time with the football. And you're right, it's not like they marched up and down the field and scored all kinds of points,
right.
But they kind of did what they wanted to do throwing the football. And then with the game on the line, they marched down the field.
Yeah.
They did.
And I don't think Geno really felt much pressure the entire game, really. I mean, he had plenty of time to look around, and he found his guys.
Right. And so if you – and Aaron Rodgers is not going to move. Geno's probably more mobile than Rodgers right
now. At this point, I'd say you're probably right there.
Because
yeah.
Rodgers is the post-Achilles aging guy.
Mm-hmm.
But he also, he definitely has a number one type weapon, just like you have DK to work with in Garrett Wilson. He's got a better ground game in Breece Hall and the Allen kid to make plays back there. The Patriots are going to be lesser in run defense without Juwan Bentley
mm-hmm.
on the football field. So, yeah, I think the defense absolutely needs to try to replicate or go back to its week one standards. I don't know if it'll be able to by any measure, because I'd want to be the more talented team. Like, short week,
right?
Don't you want to be the more – you always want to be the more talented team, Captain Obvious Andy.
Sure.
But on a short week when we're not really going to practice, I don't know how much we can scheme up and game plan and break down.
And motivate and all that other stuff, you know, take them, like, to the hill and all that. Like, it's not part of this week.
Probably rather just show up and have more talent on my side of the field, and that's the Jets this week. And then you get into the other details, like who the hell knows who's playing offensive line for this team when we get – we'll get another we actually may not get it till after – they have a walkthrough at 6, so we may not even get an injury
report. Yeah, we won't hear about this. Yeah.
After our show, we can talk about it tomorrow.
Joe Castiglione can talk about it in the third inning of the Red Sox game. Yeah, probably, if he wants to.
He retires one third inning.
He's retired. He can talk about whatever he wants.
That is true.
You know, they talk about, you know, some movie you watched last week. This is like senioritis for him, basically, like in senior in high school, not senior age.
I was
although
say,
that applies too.
He's
you know what
fat.
I mean? Like, yeah, he's it's whatever.
What
school's
are they gonna
over.
Do? Fire me?
Yeah, what are you gonna do? You gonna fire Joe Castiglione?
It'll be more interesting than what's going on the field.
That's true. That also would be
shot across the bow. They're still alive with a key twin series.
Yeah,
on the horizon.
Watch out! I'm the Sox producer.
Yeah,
right.
I have some respect.
Sox, very, very much still alive.
We were supposed to talk to the manager today, but we didn't.
Right.
Even though we weren't ever supposed to talk to him.
I don't know who said that. I don't know who thought that.
Wait, we're not talking to Cora today?
No, we're not. I don't know why. I don't know why people thought that. That's an insane
weird.
Thing. It says right there.
Now
on the
you
board.
Know why I don't
right
pay attention
the board,
to your
it says,
emails.
Alex Cora, Wednesday, 2:30. I don't know why
I
anybody
read my
thought
email.
Anything different.
Somebody told me bright and early. We got Cora at 2:30.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, I don't know who said that, but it remains a mystery. Anyway, the Jets' defense so far hasn't been super impressive through 2 weeks.
No.
They've been fine. They haven't been great. Are they vulnerable? Do you think the Patriots could take any advantage of that?
I mean,
running the ball, I mean, you know, pushing them around, that type of stuff.
No. I don't believe so. I think they have a big front. Now, they haven't been great. You're right. But again, I get back to what are the Patriots going to look like up front? Do I have confidence in Ramondre Stevenson to be the best player on the offense? Yes. I think he's probably been your best player over 2 games.
Mm-hmm.
He'll show up and do that. But as Ross Tucker told us, that's not the way offensive football works. If one guy doesn't do his job, it might break down on offense. Now what if, I don't know, 1, 2, 3, 4 guys, let's just say. Let's say one lineman does a great job and 4 don't. It's going to be a long day for Jacoby Brissett and Ramondre Stevenson. So, now, I told you that's why I took out my friends at FanDuel, the app, and may have put a little something on the Jets for.
Yeah, you did it right as that news came out, that offensive line thing. And
yes!
that was just an injury report for a day. I mean, that wasn't
a fake injury report. They didn't practice.
Not even a real injury report.
A projected hypothetical.
I've seen enough.
Absolute. Well, yeah, I kind of have seen enough.
Yeah, let's get that bet in there. Listen, I'm not disagreeing with you. I just thought that was interesting. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Let's go to John in the car. He has a thought on the Patriots defense. Hi, John.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I don't know if I've talked to you in a while. Congratulations on the show you guys found.
Yeah, John, I thought you ghosted us ever since the shakeup. I haven't heard you from you
no,
at all.
No, you know, some people get busy again in the fall. You know, like you're, I don't know which number you guys are. You know, Hardo is like number one or number two. He gets busy in the fall, too.
Okay,
but, so I haven't been able to listen to you guys as much. You get busy in the fall, you know?
Understandable.
Bring the app
I'm excited to talk to you. All right. So let's talk about the Patriots. So I'm not really excited about this Patriots defense. And I think you guys were talking about it earlier, you know, with what they saw last week of Geno Smith, like, how is he throwing for 300 yards? I mean, that's concerning. But, Andy, really one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you was this. The thing that everybody's explaining away Christian Gonzalez, it's not his fault that they gave that one deep throw because it was miscommunication. But if you listen to what Geno Smith said, it's they got caught in cover zero, and then they never went back to it until overtime, which is when they went back to cover zero, and that's when they lost the game because they took advantage of it again. So I can ask you, do you think it was miscommunication, or do you think it was like – some game planning that did not go so well? Because it sounds like it may not be like the exact Patriot way. Oh, we miscommunicated and it was this.
Nope, sorry. I didn't mean to do that. I didn't mean to hang up on him. I didn't. I was moving just the mouse over because I thought he was.
That's why he doesn't call anymore.
That's why he hates you.
Swear to God, I didn't mean to do
that. He's not busy. He just hates you.
I was moving the mouse over and I accidentally clicked on it. I'm sorry about that, John. I thought you were wrapping up. I was getting
ready to hang up on you.
Porn
excuse too. I accidentally. I clicked on this link
and I don't know what happened.
Yeah. I got a virus.
All of a sudden, I got a subscription going now, and I don't know. I mean, I got it anyway. Sorry about that, John. The broken play. I mean, it was obviously a broken play. Was that I saw somewhere. That they someone on the Seahawks offensive staff was like, yeah, this was an old Belichick blocking scheme or something, and that's what we did, and we were able to get. It's like, really, it was the blocking scheme. It looked like you had no one back, and the big fast wide receiver running free down the sideline. It was like porn.
It was a combination. I don't think it was a miscommunication. I think that was just sort of an out.
I think Gonzalez expected there to be safety help.
No, I think they expected the pressure to get there. They didn't expect the Seattle to run anything deep because they thought Seattle would see the pressure coming and check to and go short. So I don't think it was as much a miscommunicated call as just a bad call situationally, where I think Seattle out-schemed them, out-coached them, out-played them, whatever you want to say. The brains on the sideline and the brains in the Seattle backfield were better than the Patriots on that play.
Yeah.
I really do. And I also don't – I'm with John a little bit. I don't totally discount – I said it yesterday. Like, the most dangerous player on the field, you just allowed to run right by you.
Yeah.
Like, he made it clear he wasn't running something short. So be
– Yeah, there wasn't like a double move or anything. He just took off running. Yeah, that was
it. So run with him. Somebody run with him. One of you two, run with him. Because – if they throw short, we can try to tackle, rally. We can make them work for the big play. You just said, oh, well, that stinks. I didn't think they were going to do that. And you watched him go. And
touché, Seattle.
Yeah. Like,
well done.
So I don't care for that. That played into my sort of list of I thought they got outcoached at various points in that game. Not embarrassingly so. Just, you know, the old chess for Seattle, checkers for the pay. They were a step behind, it seemed, on everything.
All right. Well, Andy Hart doesn't care for that, but what does he care for? Let's find out in today's edition of Do You Care? I don't care. I love it. All right, Andy Hart. There's a bunch of stuff out there in the ether right now that you may or may not care about. Let's go ahead and start with a show that debuts tonight on FX. It is an American sports story, the Aaron Hernandez story, given the FX treatment, which I don't know if you've seen some of these other ones. They had the Bill Clinton, Monica Lewinsky thing. That was like a couple years ago. I watched every episode of that.
Oh.
I thought that was very good. Very well done. They've had a bunch of shows like this where it's sort of historical fiction.
O.J. Simpson.
The O.J. Simpson one I really liked.
One.
I thought that was very well done as well. The American Crime Story, O.J. Simpson, remember that one?
Yeah.
With Cuba Gooding Jr.
And the way you guys are talking, you're making me care more by the minute about this.
I like both of those a lot. And I am going to watch every single second of this Aaron Hernandez show. Do you care about this Aaron Hernandez show, Andy?
So I kind of came in thinking I didn't care, but the way you two just talked about sort of the series and the history made me care more. And I will admit the commercials have kind of gotten me.
Let's listen to one of these ads right now because there's a bunch of them all over the internet.
Yes.
You're seeing them on FX now all the time.
Everything's okay when I'm playing ball. You don't know the kind of thoughts I have.
Couple of things. Number one, that kid does not look like Aaron Hernandez.
Not even close.
He really doesn't look like him at all, which I know. I mean,
who cares?
Whatever. The guy who played Clinton didn't look like Clinton either. It was Clive Owen or somebody like that, I think, played Clinton. And they make him up to look like him. And eventually you sort of forget that you're even watching a show about somebody. And it's like, all right, that guy's Aaron Hernandez. If it's a compelling performance, then you can overlook that sort of thing. But up front, you're watching this and you're going, that's not what he looks like. Anyway, I think that there's going to be some liberties taken here. I mean, definitely this is what FX always does. These shows are good, but they're kind of trashy. I mean, it's very sensational, very sort of tabloidy. I think there was one just this year about the Clippers, right? And what's his face? Sterling and the Clippers.
Yep. So, yeah, I think there was.
You know, I haven't watched that one yet, but this will be, I guess, the second sports one, or third if you count OJ. And you're caring about it, Danny. You're going to watch this, of course. Every Patriots fan's going to watch this.
They were smart. It's a Tuesday night.
Right.
You don't normally Sunday night football, Monday night football, whatever. Get me hooked on a Tuesday night. Yes, I am absolutely going to watch the first one. How many is it? Did I see six? Is it six episodes?
Only six episodes?
Is that what I saw?
Okay.
You really good, though. Short and sweet.
I'll watch it. Yeah, I'm going to watch it.
I'm going to watch it because it's weird. We lived it. We've seen multiple things on it. We've read. I still feel like I'm interested in it.
Yeah.
In a weird way, because I'm not sure I've totally come to grips with the entirety of the story either.
Yeah, and when they dramatize parts that you didn't see, you know,
right. Like
that's as close as you're ever going to get to seeing it.
Right.
We've all watched a bunch of documentaries about Aaron Hernandez, but we didn't really get much of him at all. Like, this is going to be about him, which I think is going to be, that's sort of the problem with these things, is that, you know, I have to portray someone who is an awful person. I mean, really, like a mass murderer, and try and portray him and make him a compelling character on TV. So
there's that fine line. Is he an awful person? Was he the troubled person? Was he creative? Was he sick?
I can tell
what are
you
the issues?
In the previews, there's a lot of CTE allusions and like his head hitting the ground and stuff like that.
There are people that believe that, and I don't know that that is or isn't true.
Well, how many guys have CTE?
Yeah,
how many
exactly.
Went out and shot people? You know, like,
well, yeah, but each person, how you react to alcohol, you don't become an alcoholic. But his brain chemistry,
sure,
and his makeup and his physiology led him down a certain road. And it may not be the only part of it, because I'm assuming they're going to get into his sexuality and issues there and stresses there. They're going to get into the relationship with his father,
yep,
and issues there. Like, so,
and he was getting in college. I mean, they had to cover up for him all the time.
You start layering all these issues and experiences, and you end up with the concoction that turned into the killer.
All right, so it sounds like we both care. We're both going to be watching this Aaron Hernandez.
Yes!
So.
I'm surprised, by the way, on the Twitch chat,
mm-hmm,
there was a lot of going to be dope, care. I thought maybe people had been saturated with Aaron Hernandez and maybe kind of moved on, but seems like they still care.
Yeah, no, people still watch this stuff. It's a naturally compelling story. I mean, you know, whatever you think about it, and it's obviously very sad for a lot of people who live here in this area who knew Odin Lloyd and, you know, some of these other people, but, like, it's a very compelling story.
And I still find it interesting, and I don't know what more you get out of this, but we talk about Belichick and Brady,
yeah,
and Gronk, and, like, these guys that are still parts of our football world. They're on our TV every Sunday or Monday night, whatever. Superstars, all-time greats that were tied to him,
mm-hmm,
that were intimately involved with his life. They were around each other every single freaking day. Obviously, Belichick,
yeah,
more so than the others, but that aspect of it, and the, you know, the Wes Welkers of the world, and the people that, you know, because of the Dynasty episode that went into this, there's just so many layers of that I find intriguing.
All right, we both care about that. Andy Hart, do you care about Bill Belichick and his performance last night on the Manning Cast? Do we have a little taste of that there, Brian? Because he was a little bit more talkative. I didn't really watch much of this, but I did see the clips. Here's Belichick.
Hey, Coach, I got to ask you about Super Bowl 52. Y'all went against the Eagles. Did not go well for you that game. I know. I didn't want to ask you. Peyton made me do this, but I just have one quick question. Do you happen to have like a dartboard in your house, the picture of Foles and I on it that you just throw darts at all the time?
Yeah, I got three dartboards, two of you and one of Foles. Yeah, I got three.
There it is. Yeah, right in the head.
Yeah.
Perfect game. I really didn't want to talk about it, Coach. Peyton makes me do that kind
of
stuff.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. Fly,
we
Eagles,
have our
fly.
Truce.
There they are.
We have our truce.
So, that stuff, I don't care about. The kind of weird go to the well one too many time jokes about Eli or you know what I do like? He's starting to get a little surly. There was a little
towards the Falcons, definitely.
Towards the Falcons.
Yeah.
There was towards one of the clips I was reading watching was the Bears and kind of ripping the, it was on McAfee,
ripping
the Bears for, you got all these receivers and you got a quarterback, but you can't block anybody. And I don't really know what they're doing. That sarcastic, critical tone is the one I want more of. Because I've told you this in the past. That's the guy you can get in, like, production meetings.
Right.
Where he's got an arrogance to him, a dismissive arrogance. Like, I mean, sure, you can get receivers and a quarterback, but maybe you should actually get an offensive line. Like, that tone is what I want, because that's who he is. That when he looks at football, he sees the strengths and the weaknesses and the idiocy and the poor planning. Mm-hmm. Now, some would say he lost that ability to see it with own team, right?
A lot of people might say that, yeah.
But whatever, he's still an expert in that field. I care about the non-packaged Belichick. I don't want any more jokes about InstaFace, social media, the Mannings, any of that crap. Don't ask him about Malcolm Butler. I want to hear him just rip offensive linemen, rip tackling, rip other coaches, rip quarterbacks, rip the crap. We were talking about it. Crappy start to the year.
Yeah.
Give Bill carte blanche to rip the crap.
He also ripped Arthur Blank and the Falcons. Do we have that one, Brian? This was pretty good. If there's a couple reasons to do that. Number one, they had that Super Bowl win over him. And number two, Arthur Blank listened to his football people and said, no thanks, Bill, we're all set. Thanks for your, we'll interview you. We're the only team that's going to interview you, the only team that reaches out at all, which is weird that Bill still is so mad at them. You know, it's like they're the only team that even wanted to talk to
you. They gave you a shot.
They gave you the only thing that any team in the NFL was willing to give you, and this is how Bill talked about the Falcons.
But, you know, in the end, when I think back about that game, I think, you know, just a lot of credit has to go to you know, our three coordinators, Matt Patricia, Josh McDaniels, and Joe Judge, for the adjustments that
couldn't
they made
and
the pressure calls that they executed. You know, we got the big strip sack from Hightower, and it converted a couple two-point conversions. Then we had two kickoffs where we tackled them inside the 15-yard line, and ultimately that was probably just enough yardage to keep them out of field goal range. So, you know, just it was really a great job by the coordinators and obviously the players. You know, I've been so fortunate to be with those great players. Also, remember Blank down on the sideline in the fourth quarter, you know, celebrating when they were ahead. And so, you know.
You saw that?
Well, I mean, he's a pretty good dresser now. Like, Arthur always looks sharp, but, you know, he was down there on the sideline and, you know, we were getting beat. And I'm like, Jesus. But anyway.
So that was all right.
Great point by the text line. Belichick needs to be the Gordon Ramsay or Simon Cowell of football analysts.
So just be the a-hole. British accent and suddenly start
he doesn't need to
berating
that.
Everybody.
Bonnie, you cow! You effing moron! Like, if he starts yelling at them, how good will that be? Because that's who I think he is. That's who I think he wants. He's critical to his core.
That's his lane, yeah.
Yes.
I agree.
And if he leans into that, now, I don't know if that would be good for his future employment, if he does actually want to get back in the league. But if you just want to entertain me in your roles as an analyst, that's exactly right. Simon Cowell or Gordon Ramsay should be your model.
All right, we'll stop it right there. We have one more. Do you care about the Bruins?
But we didn't care enough about it to talk about it.
Didn't care enough about it, I guess. There you go. We do care about Hernandez. And yeah, Belichick, getting better. I mean, I agree. I'm not better than Brady. That's true.
And I don't care about Brady.
Huge fan of the Manning cast, and I'm not really watching McAfee either, but I'll credit where it's due. He's been better this week. All right, coming up, there is maybe the kibosh has been put on it now thanks to Alex Cora, but there was a bit of a, I don't know, I don't even know what to call it.
Kerfluffle?
Bit of a kerfluffle, I'd say, with the Yankees over the weekend. Aaron Judge, Rafael Devers, Garrett Cole, and Brian Baio with Alex Cora right in the middle of it. We have an update on that, which we'll get to next.
We're right back to it. Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
Grand Slam last night, his eighth career Grand Slam. And Judge gets thrown behind now. Is that retaliation for the three Red Sox batters that have been hit?
Playing this game for a while, things like that happen. You know, I know they're upset. I think three other guys got hit that day. And, you know, I think they're just protecting their players. So, you know, something's got to happen. And that's the way this game kind of gets policed and has been policed for over 100 years. So I think the biggest thing is just don't miss when you do it.
It's Aaron Judge and the New York Yankees, who beat the Red Sox 3 out of 4 over the weekend and plunked a bunch of Red Sox, too. Including that whole thing with Garrett Cole and Rafael Devers. Cole hits him in the first inning, then gives him the intentional walk. That pissed Alex Cora off. They throw behind Aaron Judge, which was obviously intentional. I mean, come on. Like, you get plunked three times, yeah, you're going to get thrown at. That's still baseball, right? I mean, we're still playing baseball here. You know, like, we're still trying to protect our guys. I know they don't want anybody getting hit or drilled or thrown at on purpose, but come on. It's still baseball, and you still want to try and deter other teams from doing that. And the umpires weren't doing anything about it, so, you know, you got to go out there and police it. I have no problem with any of that, no matter what team it is. It's not just a Red Sox thing. I think that's part of baseball. That should still exist. I don't say that because I want guys to get hurt. I say it because I don't want them to. I think it's a deterrent. You know, don't do that or we're going to throw at you. It's that kind of frontier justice that I think works out fine in hockey most of the time, and I think in this case could work out in baseball. Alex Cora came out and said, we missed our chance to retaliate. And I've been looking all over the place for this audio. We can't find it anywhere. Brian was looking all over for it as well. It's been scrubbed from the internet, I guess. I don't know. But that was being looked at by Major League Baseball, those comments about we missed our chance to retaliate because, as you saw and as you heard there, Bayo threw behind him and didn't actually make contact with Aaron Judge. That was being looked at. MLB talked to him over the weekend, and they are not going to discipline him, but they are saying, you know, just the acknowledgement that you tried to throw at somebody or hit somebody is worthy of an MLB investigation, which I did not realize that they took it that seriously. I'm surprised. I was surprised to see it. And I think it's honestly very soft. I think it's very soft that they're getting involved at all.
Yeah, I think they have to pretend that we're policing this just in case something happens and there's a severe injury, a guy gets hit in the head. I think worst case scenario, you have to at least give the air of care here. I think it would have been terrible if there had actually been some sort of penalty
right
for Cora, the Red Sox, Bayo, anybody. Because, as you said, this has been going on for more than 100 years.
Yeah, and also, no one got hit except the Red Sox.
Right.
And so the Red Sox are going to get penalized for throwing at someone and not hitting them? That's not fair.
I do think it's funny that Cora, I don't think, was as ticked off when Devers got hit as the walk because he felt that the walk indicated
he doesn't want to face this guy.
Oh, yeah. I see what you're doing here.
Right.
You hit him. Like, it kind of solidified it. Now,
has anyone ever done a douchier intentional walk motion than that, by the way?
No.
I've never seen. He's like, yeah, yeah. But it was like, okay, man, like, you can just point to the base.
And then the more you delve into it, just how in the head of Cole Devers is.
I know.
And, like, I hadn't even seen the question a couple days earlier on Spanish Heritage Month or whatever, when they asked him the best Latin hitter he ever faced, and he cut the guy off and said Rafi Devers.
Yeah.
Like, didn't even let the guy finish the question. And then they effed up. They admitted that they had this meeting pregame to talk about it, but then Boone didn't actually want to do it.
Right.
But Cole looked over and Cole did it. The catcher's like, the hell are we doing here? I don't know anything about this. And then I saw Cole hasn't had an intentional walk since 2017.
I didn't know that.
7 years.
Wow.
And bases empty intentional walks for the Red Sox.
No, he doesn't want to face him. That's the bottom line.
That is the bottom line.
Yeah.
He is scared to death of Rafi Devers, who's not really Rafi Devers right now.
I know. Like,
that's the other.
Have you been watching him lately?
Did you not check your scouting report?
You can pitch them.
He's
right
not
now.
The guy that dominates you. He's not dominating anybody. There's no pop in his bat. Like, I just, this whole thing is very weird, and it starts between the ears of Cole. Like,
yeah.
It's so much in his soul right
now.
He's
a weird guy. I mean, most pitchers are a little strange anyway. They're a little high-strung. He's, like, poster boy of that. Like, he's like Messina. Remember how Messina was all wound up all the time? Like, that's Gerrit Cole in a lot of ways reminds me of Mike Messina.
Rafi
Devers
did
have three hits over the weekend, but not much else. Yeah.
508, how do you miss Aaron Judge? He's 7 effing feet tall.
True. Good point. That's a good point.
He is a pretty large target there.
Bayo, I mean, come on. It's not like he was throwing him chin music either. You know, it was down around his legs, which is probably the play. You know, it's like getting shot. You know, I'd rather get shot in the leg than up around the head, I would think.
If
someone's going to throw a baseball at me, that's the place to do it, or in the, you know, on the butt cheeks or something.
So,
but that didn't end up touching him at all. And they went to launch this investigation, and that was probably the most action the Red Sox are going to get for the rest of the season, because that was a brutal, brutal weekend, and just an ugly couple of losses there to a Yankee team that I didn't think was taking this series all that shit. It didn't seem like they were playing all that hard, you know, with Gerrit Cole out there ushering guys over to first base, and everybody just sort of taking this lax attitude. It seemed like the Red Sox had an opportunity there, and they blew it. I mean, they lost 3 out of 4. They're 12 games out of the East, and now in the wild card, it's a whole big cluttered mess right there. They're 4 games back with Seattle ahead of them, Detroit's ahead of them, and of course Minnesota still has the spot right there. So they're going to have to leapfrog at least 2 more teams to get there, and then that third team that's there.
It is impressive how bad they've been, yet they're still like not totally out of it because everyone else sucks. Is just that bad too.
I know. Remember, the Mariners and Tigers are both winning. I mean,
well, the Tigers, that's how they got back in it.
Right. Yeah.
Remember that old Tom Brady skit? Everyone sucks but me. This is everyone sucks and me.
And also us.
We also suck as well. But I did.
Who can suck the least?
I'm going to move right along from that. I actually think Boone was right too. I do think Cora saw an opportunity to pounce at a potential ignition point with his team in this whole Devers Cole controversy, and he even talked about it. Like, maybe we look back and say Saturday was the start of something special. Now, it wasn't because Sunday came, and that's the way this team has
certainly
been.
Was not.
But I do think he attempted, and Boone kind of called him out on it, like to latch on to an opportunity to maybe do something with his team.
Yeah, try and do whatever you can here with only 12 games left to go and 4 3-game series left. Tampa, that starts tonight down in Tampa at the Trop. If Tampa sweeps the Red Sox, they'll leapfrog the Red Sox in the wild card standings and also in the ALE. I mean, that's what it'll be there, and that's considering the type of season Tampa's had would be very. I mean, they have to play him 6 times, so that could certainly happen. Not great is putting it nicely. If they end up below the Tampa Bay Rays this season with the disappointing turd of a season that the Rays have had. That was a 100-win team last year, right? I mean, maybe not 100, but they definitely won a lot of games. And that was a big disappointing season. And the Red Sox, who at certain points this year seemed like a shoo-in for the playoffs before the All-Star break, to fall behind them. I mean, listen, at this point you're just playing for pride, I guess. But
you're playing because you got a 2.7% chance to make the playoffs.
Yeah, 2.7. You're playing
this
for pride.
This is not great.
No, it is not.
Not great.
617-779-7937 is the phone number. Quick break. When we come back, Juwan Bentley potentially out for the year. This, according to Ian Rappaport. We haven't heard an official update from the team yet.
No.
So we'll see what they have to say about this. If maybe there was a little jump in the gun there. Anyway, Bentley certainly injured. We'll get into some of the mixed reporting on that. And the Patriots' lax attitude towards the linebacker position over the last decade. We'll get to all of that.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.